we'll finish up talking about fires, or more accurately, how to not have fires. They are part of life in the region, but that's, we hope, outside of town. In our cities, there's steady work to reduce the danger of fires breaking out and spreading. In the city of Ashland, that work comes under the purview of the fire marshal. Ashland didn't have a full-time fire marshal for a while until Mark Shea took the job 3 months ago. He's in the studio to talk about the work of keeping fire danger in city limits as low as it can go. Mark Shea, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Good morning. Thank you, Jeffrey.
So you moved over from Medford. What convinced you to make the move?
I moved from Medford for the great community of Ashland. I wanted to be a part of this wonderful community, and I wanted to be a part of the wonderful and progressive things that Ashland Fire and Rescue is doing.
Well, we'll talk about what those are, but I just wonder how different at its base the job of fire marshal is between the two cities. They're somewhat different circumstances topographically and vegetation-wise.
Yeah, there's certainly some differences as it comes to the wildland-urban interface or where the forestry meets the built environment, the city. Ashland does have a much larger forestry component and a much larger wildland-urban interface component than Medford does. There's also some similarities. The Oregon Fire Code, which rules our fire rules, essentially, for commercial buildings, is the same across the state. And so there are aspects of the job that are a little bit different in the community, and there's aspects of the job, those technical aspects, that are really the same.
Ashland has not had a fire marshal for a while. What caused the gap?
The previous fire marshal from a few years back, Marguerite Hickman, mm-hmm. Had retired. Her position was filled by Ralph Sartain. Ralph was initially the fire marshal, and then there were some changes in the fire chief position. Ralph became the interim and then the fire chief and has been the fire chief. I don't have the exact reason why there was a bit gap beyond that, but what I do know is that recently City Council approved the funding for my position.
And so since the position was absent, I mean, Ralph Sartain did fire marshal work too, but not full-time as you are doing. Is there some catch-up then for you coming into the fire marshal role?
Sure. There's some catch-up to do, you know, from that technical aspect of fire code compliance. We've had fire inspections that have been occurring with staff in the fire department, but we're going to amplify those. We're going to bring the volume up on those.
So talk about the fire code compliance and inspections. Who gets inspected? How big a list is that?
So it's actually a really big list. Every commercial occupancy in Ashland can and will at some point be inspected. So any, you name it, grocery store, the hospital, nursing homes, theater, those can all be inspected and are kind of overseen by the Oregon Fire Code as far as a safety perspective.
What kinds of things go into inspections then? Obviously you're looking for things based on the fire code, but what are the things you put the most eyeballs on?
Yeah. Exits. We want to make sure that exiting is clear, and exiting is more than just the door. So we're looking at those light up exit signs. You go into some businesses and you'll see the two lights kind of high up on the wall that look funny. That's part of the exiting system. Those lights come on in case of an emergency. And then even beyond that, outside of those doors, making sure that there's a clear path for people to get out of the building and it's a well-lit clear path. That's one of the things beyond. You know, we look at fire extinguishers, we look at your fire sprinkler system, your fire alarm system. But beyond all that technical aspect, it's about building relationships with the business owners of Ashland and ensuring safety. So we build good relationships so that those business owners will communicate with myself, with the fire department, and we can work together to create a safer Ashland.
Mark Shea is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the fire marshal for Ashland Fire and Rescue, new to the job 3 months ago. And we're talking about the inspections part of the business, but also some things to talk about in terms of fire preparedness in a city like Ashland that has a large wildland-urban interface. You might have questions or comments for our guest. Send your emails to jx@jeffnet.org. So what's the process in fixing things that an inspection finds deficient?
Process in fixing things can be very simple. We can fix it right then and there. Maybe somebody has a few things blocking an exit door. We can move that right away, or they have a small electrical cord issue. We can fix that right away with them. Or they might be more complex. It might be a large, complex issue that requires some finances behind it. In that, I'm going to set a deadline, and I'm going to work with that business owner and that business manager to accomplish some goals throughout the deadline to ensure that they are taking steps to remedy that fire code violation and make their business safer.
Now, you mentioned that there's a uniform fire code, but there's also the city fire code. Does Ashland's need some updating?
Yeah, so we have the Oregon Fire Code, and here next month in early March, I'm going to meet with the city council at a regular city council business meeting, and we're going to adopt the Oregon Fire Code. Really what that says is we're adopting the code as a whole, and then we're making a few select changes within that code that are Ashland specific, and those are adopted within our Ashland Municipal Code.
What kinds of Ashland specific things do you think are warranted?
Those things are really nothing new. They're some of the very same codes that we've had adopted and have changed for many years in the past. For example, some of those are changes to accommodate our narrow streets and steep streets for better fire access.
In terms of, I was wondering if fire codes take up things or acknowledge things in changes in consumer behavior. I think I saw some reference in one of your other interviews to the fact that we have so many more chargers and lithium-ion batteries and things like that now. What does that do to complicate your job as a fire marshal?
What that does is there are a lot more lithium-ion batteries on the market right now. And what the difference here is, you know, we've had batteries in consumer products for years, and those have been NiCad batteries or nickel batteries-based batteries. The lithium-ion batteries are a bit different technology, and those have proven nationwide to be problematic and to cause fires, and I've seen those even cause fires here regionally in my previous work at Medford. Fire code specific, there is now a fire code chapter that is dedicated to lithium-ion batteries and solar power, solar storage. We're going to look at that more for the commercial aspect in any new solar arrays, large lithium-ion battery storages. But for the consumer, really it's about buying a product that is UL listed. So something, you know, we buy our consumer electronics. We see the UL kind of on a sticker that's on the bottom or the back of that. That's important because that tells us that it has a third-party testing. With the availability of products on the internet right now, we can get products from out of the country that aren't necessarily tested by a third party, and those may not be as safe as the products that we know are tested here by UL.
I hadn't thought about that part, the whole internet ordering thing complicating your job. Mark Shea is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the fire marshal at Ashland Fire and Rescue. What is your overall take on how well Ashland is prepared for a larger fire?
Ashland is very well prepared for a larger fire. If we're going to talk specifically about wildfire and those urban interface fires, you know, Ashland has been a leader in wildfire mitigation and preparedness for a number of years, really a national leader. And we are very well prepared, but we are working every day to be more prepared.
Well, I was going to ask you then if you can ever prepare enough. I think about what might have happened with the Almeida Drive fire. If the wind had been blowing 180 degrees in the other direction, there might have been large chunks of Ashland lost.
Yeah, there certainly may have been. And some of the things that we're doing right now is we are working on our community wildfire protection plan. Ashland has had one since 2004, and we are working to revise that. With that, we've hired a consultant, and we are going to be seeking community input and community feedback through the process. That's going to take about a year. That's going to help us define any needs and goals as far as wildfire within the community.
You have established, I understand, a risk reduction division within Ashland Fire and Rescue?
Yeah, so the risk reduction division, what that really does is if you look at, you can look at fire prevention in a couple of parts. You can look at the standard fire prevention of fire inspections and public education, the sort of the structural red trucks, go to school model. And then we also have, because we have such a wildfire threat in Ashland, we have the Wildfire and Forestry Division. And what we've done is we've put both of those under one umbrella, essentially, with myself overseeing that division. That gives us more of a holistic picture of the fire prevention paradigm and community risk in Ashland.
You mentioned the red truck to school. How much outreach goes on to schools in Ashland? How big a curriculum is provided by AFNR?
There has been a great amount of outreach within the schools by AFNR over the years, and I hope to continue that and bolster community outreach as much as we can. You know, even beyond schools, meet the community and meet folks where they are to provide those safety messages.
What else do you think is needed? I mean, Ashland's got the FireWise and the a couple of other programs that acknowledge Ashland's specific sets of risks and address those. But have you done as much as you can possibly do? You already said you can't prepare for you know, you could be well prepared for fire, but you can always prepare more. What are some of the finer points you think that need to get communicated to the community?
Really, I think those finer points as far as communicating we're going to reiterate what we've been, the messages that we have been giving, you know, with wildfire being a paramount topic. But beyond that, to really make that determination, we're going to dig into the data. We're going to dig into the numbers of really what the risks are in Ashland and our responses at AFNR. And we're going to take that data and we're going to make data-based decisions on moving forward. So we're gonna actually be able to define those risks based on either models or actual responses, and then move forward with messaging and risk reduction programs from there.
Should something go wrong, there are evacuation routes published. Do you think people are well aware of those and where to go when an evacuation is called?
I think people should be well aware. They can certainly go to City of Ashland webpage, search emergency management. Our emergency manager has done a great job developing those evacuation zones, providing signs, and you know, I would encourage everyone to sign up for Citizen Alert. That's their best way to get emergency information about evacuations or potential evacuations within Ashland. And, you know, Citizen Alert is what took the place of the former Nixle here in Ashland.
Okay. So a lot of things to do. Obviously a very busy job, but I guess the trick is to stay busier on the days when nothing is happening, so you have less to do on the days when things do happen.
That's right.
Mark Shea is the fire marshal now at Ashland Fire and Rescue, on the job for 3 months. Thanks for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange today.
You're welcome.